Welcome, everyone. We just said and joked, you must be the diehards that you come here while there's a rock concert going on in the background. Thank you. An applause for you for coming. And also for our speaker here, Quentin, who is here in spite of the concert and the noise around us. And he will present us how to reverse engineer government transparency, because that's what he's working for, the Open State Foundation. He's a developer and he's developing tools to get government data to be more accessible. And he'll present us today how, what are the barriers to it, how we as hackers can help to do that, and what's his vision for the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, she said it already, but these are the true diehards whose idea of a fun night on a Saturday at 10 p.m. while there's a rock concert going on, wants to talk about government transparency. So I'm very glad to have you here. A little bit about me first. And by the way, when I found out this talk was going to be at 10 p.m., I redid all my slides to be in dark mode, so to spare your eyes, which was quite some work, all the screenshots as well. This is me. I'm Quentin. I'm a student still, part-time, of the Masters of Data Science. And because I found it very fun to work alongside it and to do some actual practical hands-on stuff, I started to work as a developer at the Open State Foundation as well. And that's why I'm here today. And if you're thinking, am I a little young? To present some credentials, by some definition, I've been hacking for 14 years because I started with Lego building blocks, programming with Scratch, and 14 years later, I'm still here. And I still do a little HTML, although I can spell a little bit better now. The Open State Foundation is the Dutch NGO working to increase government transparency in the Netherlands. We really believe in open data towards a transparent society. And we truly believe that in a democracy, and a very important and large part of that has to be that you can know what the government is doing, that the government is transparent about not only its eventual decisions, but also how it arrives at these decisions. And we usually, nowadays, use a lot of different arguments as to why this is an important thing. We point to human rights and international treaties. But for this audience today, I want to go back into our history a little bit and talk about Hack the Overheid, which was the collective we as Open State grew out of, which means hack the government. It was a collective of people who really believed that technology was not something that will just happen and have no impact, but it will have a huge impact, and we have to make this impact for the good, and we have to for the good of society specifically. And so today I wanted to talk about government transparency from this hacker's perspective as well, because I think it's really important, and I think it's a very interesting argument as to why we have to talk about, we have to really care about government transparency. So while we've evolved a little bit since Hack the Overheid, we're still a small team, still in Amsterdam, and nowadays we have three developers. So while we're mainly a lobbying organization trying to make this happen, we still have these three developers like me who are building tools to actually show how we do this and how we can open up all these data. So I want to talk about some part of this book, which is called Hackers, Heroes of the Computer Revolution. And it's quite an interesting book, but what I wanted to talk about specifically here is that it's the first book that really writes down this idea of the hacker ethic. It evolved a little bit out of the 1960s at MIT. And what you saw is that not only were this just people programming and doing some random stuff, but there was some ethic and some idea behind that evolving as well. And you'll still find it on the CCC website today under hacker ethics. And there's some very fun things, but I think important things written down as well, such as the access to computers and judged by their acting, not bogus criteria such as degrees, age, race, or position. But the thing that's really important for today is the idea that all information should be free. And by some quirk of the English language, the word free can be very confusing indeed, of course. So free, not only as in free beer, but also free as in free speech, of course. That the idea that information is something that cannot really be contained in some box and then be sold, and then you only have that one copy, but that information is something that should be moved around freely and shared, and for the betterment of society as a whole. And you'll sometimes also see it even more poetically written down as information wants to be free, as if it's something inherent about this information. And I think that's a very interesting idea, and one that definitely is even more interesting to apply when we're talking about government data, specifically nowadays when probably the government knows more than it has ever before. It's more technological than it's ever been. It's more digital than it's ever been. It's collecting more data, not only about individual citizens, but it's also doing more studies, and it can measure more stuff about the environment as well. So the government knows more than it ever has. The government, especially in this democracy we really want to be, is by the people, for the people. So when we have this information of the government, it's really important that it not only stays contained within the government, that it's for the public as a whole. And that's really what we try to do at Open State Foundation, that when there's some very important thing the government's working on, and it's almost always a very important thing because it affects every one of us, we have to check what they're doing, we have to be able to check what they're doing at least, and verify their assumptions and their eventual decisions. And that's why it's very important that they open it up. So tonight I want to talk you through a few of our projects to try to open up the government, see what we did, see what the impact it has. But most of all, I want to convince you as well that we as you and we as hackers as a collective can really contribute to this effort, really as an individual as well. We're just a small team of around 8 people, and we can use all the help we can get. So as a starter, I want to talk about the Open Government Act in the Netherlands first. I looked it up for the first time in English translation, and it's really quite interesting to see that all laws start with greetings to all who see or hear these presents. But it's interesting, it was passed in 2022, and it follows an earlier version which was quite similar, but this law for the first time says everybody has the right to access public information without having to state an interest. And then it says subject to restrictions laid down by this act, and I could do a whole talk about these restrictions, but the interesting thing is everybody has the right to access to public information. So basically all information except private information about individuals, all information governments have, you as an individual has a right to ask government, I want to access this information, please give it to me. You don't even have to say why. And it's really new that we say this is a right for an individual, and it's a really strong position for us as an NGO to work and to open up all this data. The problem only is that if you see in reality, we as Open State Foundation work together with the Institute for Social Innovation to research, okay, how is this going in practice? The problem is you can do a woonverzoek, it's called in Dutch, ask for specific information, and they have to respond within some legal deadline, which is, there's an error in the screenshot here, but it can be extended up to 28 days. But when we researched this in 2022, we found it took at least an average of 161 days. So that's really an order of magnitude difference. So we repeated the study the next year, and we saw it actually got slower, even though we got this new beautiful right in the Open Government Act. So we repeated it again in 2023, and they still got slower. And this year too, the government has gotten slower in responding to these requests. So if you ask a question now, it usually takes, on average, 188 days before you get the documents you have a right to. And it's also quite worrying that the Justice Ministry is the slowest of the bunch. So this really hinders your fundamental right as a citizen, we've established now. But it's also like not this abstract thing, this like actually hampers down on quality journalism. Most of the big stories we've seen about government scandals in the past few years really came out of these extensive freedom of information request from journalists asking on a specific case, such as with the big Shell case in Groningen or the toeslagenaffaire. These big scandals have a big role in the Freedom of Information Act, because the government usually doesn't give you much information about this about these scandals themselves, of course. So this hampers down on journalism, because they have to wait 6 months before they can write the piece, and oftentimes when 6 months has passed, a story is no longer a story. So I'm very interested to know, of the very brave bunch who are here tonight, are there any Norwegians in the audience? Anyone from Norway? No. Okay, that means I will be less checked on what I say next, which is good for me. But Norway really has a different mindset to this, and they're not perfect. They're certainly not, but they're a model of what we really should be going to, because they have just this one search engine. It's called A-Insyn. I can't pronounce Norwegian, but you all can't either, so that's fine. It's one big index of the ingoing and outgoing documents the Norwegian government publishes. And not only the national government, all local governments and provincial governments. It's all in this beautiful search engine. So you can just search. I searched for cheese. I don't know Norwegian politics, so I had no idea what to search for. But you get all these interesting results about cheese. And the beautiful thing is, you can ask for all Dutch government documents about cheese. But first of all, you have no idea what they are, because there's no index. You have no idea what the government's doing. Not only in Norway is there this beautiful list, but there's also the order button. You can just click and it literally gets added to your cart. And usually within a few days, if it's already been publicized, it will just be sent to you immediately. But if it hasn't been published before, some civil servant will look at it, check there's no personal information, and then send it to you. Which lead to just brilliant notices on the front page. Please note that the processing times may be slightly longer for access requests to the Norwegian Labour Inspection Authority due to an unusually high volume of requests. Processing may take over a week. We apologize for the inconvenience. A big notice on the front page that it will take longer than a week. It's beautiful to me. Which is really... The problem is, even if our government decided tomorrow we're going to build this beautiful search engine, they will quickly run into a lot of problems. Because what's the problem? Well, the government usually doesn't even know themselves quite which documents they have. Each ministry registers in a different system, and each municipality, and we have 342 of them in this country, usually does things ever so slightly differently. So what happens, and why does it take 188 days on average for your request to be answered? Well, because they first have to find out what information do they have about it themselves. They don't even know themselves. So the Norwegians are still not perfect, but they have at least this index and they know what they have, which is just the very first important step to be able to publish what they have. So I've mentioned that our access to information system is not perfect, but still the very first thing you can do if you want to help out the cause of government transparency is to do a request yourself. There's a beautiful piece of software called Alefatelli, which in a lot of different countries has an instance. So in the Netherlands it's called the Wo-knop, or the Freedom of Information button, which makes it really easy to request some documents. And do it in the correct way. The right is given to you, so you can just send an email as well, but it's much easier and you can track your progress in this beautiful system. So that's the first important step, how you can help. When you find out, I really want to know, for example, why my municipality made a decision I don't really like. The municipality websites usually don't publish detailed things about how things happen. So if you want to know how it happened, and maybe a broader picture of how such a thing could happen, send a row request. So I talked about municipality websites. This is the website, at least a automatically generated dark mode version of the website of the municipality we're currently in, the Gemeente Dijk en Waard. What you find out first is beautiful things about how to take out the trash. And usually when you dig around five or so pages, you'll find there information about the council of the municipality, and you can see what's going on for the next few days, and also what the documents have been sent to the municipality and what's been going out of the municipality, which is beautiful if you're specifically looking for something
in the gemeente Dijk en Waard. But maybe you're organizing a festival and you want to find out how exactly do I do that. Oh wait, I did it in Amsterdam the last time. So you look at the website of Amsterdam and you see, oh, okay, they have a nice website with where they publish their documents, but it's a different website from the last website. And then you go to, And then you go to The Hague and they have a different website. And then you go to Maastricht all the way down south and they have a different website again. And you'll find out there's not exactly 342 websites because there's only a few providers. But you find out there's a lot of different providers each doing these document systems. So again, if you're a researcher or a journalist or something like that, it's quite difficult to make national comparisons about how we do municipal policy in this country. So that's another problem we try to solve, and that's where we collaborated with the VNG, which is the Association of Dutch Municipalities. Each and everyone is represented in the VNG. Because they ran into the very same problem as well. They're policymakers and they want to find out what's going on in each municipality, and that's quite hard for them to find out as well, because each of them has a different website. So together we created Open Raadsinformatie, or Open Besluitvorming, which is really a project to try and find all these different websites, all scrape them in and put them into one database so that we can make nice search engines like this, which is our project called Bron. You can access it right there, which is one search engine where you can search through all the documents they have published from different municipalities. So for example, I've selected all the municipalities we looked at just now, so you can search through all of them. And we've talked to a lot of journalists, and this is really something that helps them write stories, especially local journalists, of course, who don't have all the financing they need, can use all the resources they get for them to write their stories. So this is something that they have already published. The government says, oh, we're very transparent about this. Look at our website of published documents. But it's only when you scrape them all and hook them up to a search engine that it's really useful. So this is really also why I would call it reverse engineering government transparency, because while they say it's transparent, it's not actually very useful. So we as Open State Foundation oftentimes have to sweep in and build tools around it so that it actually matches the use case people have. So while this is a very big project, and while we still don't have all municipalities within this system, because some just do things very differently, there's smaller things you can do to contribute as well. This is a very fun project of us as well, which is called Open Rechtspraak, or Open Judiciary, I guess, is what Google Translate made of it, which is just one index of all the judges we have in this country. Again, this is technically published data. There's a list somewhere. You can look up all judges and to see what all the positions they have and all the district court they serve, but it's not searchable. So one volunteer for Open State built this tool. We deployed it. We looked at it, but it's mostly the volunteers' work. And now it gets visited 100,000 times a year because a lot of lawyers find it really useful to look up their judge before they go into court. So it's just one volunteer made this website and it's used 100,000 times a day. So if you have this use case where you think, oh, this should be public, build it yourself, get in contact with us. It's really manageable to do this. So one topic I wanted to go into as well, which is really a focus we've been, has been our focus over the past few months, is lobby transparency. So of course, governments speak to a lot of lobbyists, or maybe it's the other way around. Lobbyists speak to a lot of governments trying to influence policy. So one of the famous examples in the Netherlands was when the previous prime minister felt into the fibers of his being that he wanted to abolish the dividend tax, when it only later found out that there was a very intensive lobby campaign going on. The same goes for the flight industry, and it's not negative, of course. Lobby in itself can be very positive as well. So aid organizations speaking about Israel policy to our current prime minister is also, of course, a form of lobby. But we, until recently, didn't have any sight on what actually was happening on the lobby front. And it was only recently that government ministers started publishing a public version of their agenda with all their external meetings for a given week. So Minister Brekelmans had a fun week where he went to the Katwijk Museum on Tuesday, and he talked to his boss on Monday as well. But again, this is really transparency for the sake of it without really thinking about how people want to use this, because it's an HTML page for one week for one minister. It's not searchable. I can't add this to my calendar, for example. So we were really frustrated by this as well. So again, we built a tool. Actually, our intern built this tool in a few weeks. So again, it's not that hard, which is called Open Lobby, which you can also visit at openlobby.nl, where we scraped it all and added just made a calendar view, which was the logical thing to do for a calendar. And the fun thing as well is if you search for a specific minister, you can add it to your own calendar. It's just iCal. But again, and of course, we made it searchable, so you can find all public meetings with Shell, for example. But again, in this case, we even have to go a step further back, because this is not even really what we're interested in. They published some version of their agenda, which is literally just one civil servant typing over the real agenda into a public agenda, even though there's an export function on their Outlook agenda. While we're really interested in this lobbying specifically, like who is lobbying with which person, and when you check their own guidelines, we find that only 13% of the meetings they published in their public agenda follows their own rules. And on top of that, we found meetings they boasted about on social media, which they took a nice selfie, posted on social media, but it was not even in their public agenda. So it's even worse than the 13%, I would say. So in this step, it's not enough to do some research. We did the research. It's not enough to build a tool. We built a tool. But this is when we really have to go into the lobbying effort. So here's a nice picture of our director with the Minister Uitermark, who is responsible for this. We go into a lobbying effort because it's not enough to work with what they have and reverse engineer a tool behind it. We really have to change the way they think about it. So we built another tool, because we always build tools, and say we built it in a few weeks, and we say, look, this is how a lobby register is supposed to work. You can search it, and you can look up which lobbyists have registered, you can look up what they talked about. Here's our fictional registration. It's very possible to do this. A lot of countries have this. We launched a petition as well, which is also a thing you can do. Launch a petition, or more specifically, sign our petition. Because it's really not enough to work with what governments already publish and build some tools around it. It's really important to shift the thinking within government as well, because very often when we talk to governments, they say, oh, do we really have to be open about this? Or they say they want to be open about this, and then they talk to more high-level politicians, and then it turns out it's a little bit politically sensitive. So it's very important that we shift mindset as well and actively promote the idea of transparency at each level of government. So that's also we need some you for. At your work, or even if you're involved in government or not in government, never forget the idea that you can be transparent about what you do as well. So that's really where I wanted to end it. You can find us here, and you can also help us keep us the lights on, which is the last thing that you can really do to help us out. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Quinton. I think we have time for two questions, probably. I see someone standing here and a hand coming up here. Yes.
Yeah. Many of your colleagues from OpenState, they now work with Google. Are you a forefront of a Google organization?
Sorry, can you repeat it?
Many of your colleagues work with Google. Are you sort of a forefront for Google?
No, we are not. It is true that one of our previous director now works for Google. We very love open source projects, and all our projects are open source as well.
Hi. with I have a DevOps team in government, and well, DevOps works well with transparency. You fail, you fix it, and that's okay. It's completely acceptable, except for in government. Because nobody wants to acknowledge they failed, nobody wants to be transparent or even have the responsibility of the failure. So how do you do this?
Can you repeat just a summary?
Okay. Transparency mm-hmm. within a DevOps team is very important. I do this within a government organization. Higher up, this is really an issue. If I'm bluntly transparent, they are like in shock. And I try to frame it all the time. It becomes politics. And it's not necessary at all. So how do you fix this?
Yeah, no, that's a very good and important question. Something like we work closely together with organizations really focused on privacy as well, and there can sometimes be a friction in the idea of privacy and transparency, but we don't really believe in this has to be a friction as well, because of course personal data will always stay personal. But what we also see, and the research supports this as well, is that, and that's really where we are right now with government transparency, is that we are opening the door a little bit, but not fully. And then when you open the door a little bit, then people say, oh, what's going on there? And it's only until, and you see this in research, that trust in government actually decreases if you say a little bit about what you're doing. But if you're open about everything you can be open about, which is still not everything you're doing, we see actually the trust increases in these institutions. So of course, we always have to protect everyone, their privacy as well. True openness is what increases trust in institutions the most, I would say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Quentin, and thank you for coming and staying, bearing with us, except although there's a lot of noise going on out there.
And enjoy the rest of your night, I would say. Thanks.